Welcome to Shir number 5, and we're going to say this Shir in Zichus for a Refuah Shleima for Chaim Rafal ben Basya. So we're discussing some of the basic rules related to brachos, and we're going to continue with that discussion. One who makes a bracha on an item, and then you realize that this item is disgusting to you before you get a chance to actually eat it, so it's proper to take a taste from this item, and thereby you will avoid a bracha levatala. Now this is only if the item doesn't truly disgust you, so much so that you're revolted by it. Because if that's the case, it's forbidden to eat even a small amount, because the Torah tells us, Lo tishak tzues nafsho sechem, that you're not allowed to make yourself disgusted by different things. So let's try to give an example. I see an apple, or any fruit, on the table. I sit down, I recite Mei Ha'etz. The apple slips out of my hand, it rolls onto the floor. So this is, let's say, mildly disgusting. So let's assume, for whatever reason, I can't wash it off. So if I'm just generally grossed out by it, and I can still take a small bite, so I'm going to save myself from a bracha levatala. However, let's say the apple rolled onto mud, or onto a very unclean floor, and I'm totally revolted by this, so I'm not allowed, biblically, to taste the apple, and I must recite Baruch Shinko Mahuso Le'olam Ba'ed. Now there is an exception to this from the Ritva. This is a famous exception. I learned this first from Rav Fran. Rabbi Forrest also quotes it in the English edition of this book. So let's say I want to eat bread. I go to wash, I recite Netilas Yadayim, I come back to the table, and either I decide that I actually don't want to eat, or perhaps I realize that this is a type of bread that I don't like. So your washing is not a bracha levatala, since when I washed, I wanted to eat, and the washing itself is its own mitzvah. Now that I don't want to eat, or I don't like the food, it doesn't ruin the Netilas Yadayim that I said before. Now, according to most poskim, this rule only applies to Netilas Yadayim. However, getting back to our case, when I make a bracha and the food is revolting to me, if there are other foods that I intended to eat, I could eat from one of those and I could save my bracha. But if I did not intend to eat anything else, or if there isn't anything else, so you lose the bracha, and you need to recite Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso Le'olam Ve'ed. If one accidentally makes a bracha on a food item on a fast day, so you may not taste the item, and instead you should recite Baruch Shem. However, if there is an item that we don't eat due to a minhag, then you could taste the food to avoid a bracha levatala. So for example, during the 9 days we don't eat meat. So if you accidentally recited a bracha on meat, you should take a taste to avoid the bracha levatala. Or to give another example, let's say you are fleishig, and you accidentally recite a bracha on milk, or a milk item. So if 1 hour has passed, you should taste the milk item. Finally, there are those that even allow an iser to avoid a bracha levatala. If one made a bracha on a food on Saturday night prior to Havdalah, because as we know, one may not eat before Havdalah, then you remember, there are those that say to take a taste in order to avoid a bracha levatala. Now the exception to this is water, because on Motzei Shabbos I am allowed to drink water before Havdalah, but everything else it's usher to eat. One is not allowed to read God's name, the Yud with the Hey, the Vav with the Hey, the way it's written, and one who does so loses his portion in the world to come. We also don't even say the letters together, but rather we separate each, or we say Yud K instead of Yud and He. So how do we say it? Meaning, what is the proper pronunciation of this word? So the way we say it is we say A, and then Do, and then Noi. So Rav Schwab, he writes on page 3 in Rav Schwab on Prayer that there are various pronunciations to the Cholam, and he says it's for sure wrong to say E. So anyone who says E, he says that pronunciation should be corrected. And my Rebbe Rav Hamburger, so if you look in Shor Shemineg Ashkenaz Aleph, so he has an entire chapter devoted to the Cholam, and basically the correct pronunciation is the typical O that Ashkenazim say, and one should stick to this O pronunciation as much as possible. They say that Rav Yashiv used to encourage Americans, used to tell them that they're not allowed to abandon this proper pronunciation of O for Cholam, and this is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, at least during Kriya Shema, he was very makbid to say, oh, and you know, anytime a person says Hashem's name, so that's the ikar part of the bracha, it's important to say it properly. One must concentrate on the meaning, or various meanings, of God's name when you recite God's name. So when one says the name of Adonus, you must have in mind that God is master of everything. When reciting the Shem Havaya, so you need to have in mind that God was, is, and will always be. And reciting the name Elohim, we have in mind that Hashem could do anything, and that He has power. Now since the Shem Havaya is written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but is pronounced as the name of Adonus, you should have both in mind. So in other words, that God is master of everything, and was, is, and always will be. Rabbi Forst does not mention that when you say the Shem Havaya, so this connotes the attribute of mercy, when you say Elohim, so this refers to the attribute of Din. So I'm not sure if you need to have those in mind or not, but the names connote those as well. Now, this halacha is very difficult, and therefore, there are those that say to have these in mind when you say your first bracha in the morning, which should be Netilas Yadayim, and have in mind that this should be in effect for all your brachos that you're going to recite throughout the day. When you make a bracha, you need to concentrate on what the words mean. A bracha should not be thrown out of one's mouth, but one should have in mind to thank Hashem for His chesed that He has given to us based on whatever the food is that we are eating. One should not recite a bracha in a hasty manner, as you might end up skipping letters and mispronouncing words. When one says a bracha properly and while concentrating, then you are raised up, and therefore it is proper to recite the bracha out loud, as hearing your voice allows for greater concentration. It's kol me'orer asalev. However, if one said a bracha without concentrating, then you have fulfilled your obligation. When you say a bracha, you should have the object that you're making the bracha on in your right hand, and if you're a lefty, you should hold the object in your left hand. Now, if you did not hold the food or the mitzvah object in your hand, then you have fulfilled your obligation. Now, let's say someone says to you that they're bringing you a food, so you make a bracha, so this doesn't count. And when the food comes, you need to make a new bracha. Since the food is in someone else's control, your bracha does not work. However, let's say the food is in the house, so it's in the cabinet or the fridge, and someone says, I'm going to bring you such and such a food. So then your bracha does work. Or even if you make the bracha yourself and then get it from the fridge afterwards, then again, this works. Although you should obviously not do this. So this concludes shiur number 5. Next time, we're going to continue with our discussion relating to general rules of brachos.